Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. As always, we want to start our Sunday with you. Father, we come to you and just ask that you would minister to us. Father, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit and speak through me. Let what we hear be directly from you and not from me. Anything that I may say, let it fall to the ground if it's from me. And anything that's from you, make sure that it sticks. Father, we love to hear from your word. It is our guidance. It is our direction. And even so, we may not spend enough time in it. When we do get in it, we realize it is your word, and that's what helps us through the day and through the weeks. So, Father, just minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about grace this morning. And to really understand what grace is, first we got to understand that we need grace. And to make that point, I want to read a scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." In other words, it's saying that all of us sin and have do transgressions. And if we don't believe that, all we got to do is just look around us. And especially when you turn on the news of some of the things that are going on in this world. I mean, if you don't think that evil is present, all we got to do is just look and see the things that people are capable of. I mean, people that don't live for Christ, there's a lot of them that try to live good, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of them that are just very perverse and evil. But even the ones that are trying to do good don't make it. All of us sin. It doesn't matter who we are. Now it goes on and says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And what it's saying is we're automatically objects of wrath. None of us are good enough for God. Which is might come as a surprise to some people. Because when you ask people, you know, how do you think you get to heaven? And a lot of them will tell you, well, I get to heaven by being a good person. And the sad part is that's not how you get there. Which messes a whole bunch of people up when you tell them that. But you don't get there because you're good. You get there by the grace of God. And that's what I was trying to explain. I'm going to explain what is the grace of God. But I want to keep on the scripture. I want to read just a few more verses. Now, so if we realize that we're all objects of God's wrath, if you want to use those words, or if you want to just say, hey, I'm not good enough, then we need this next part. And that's what I'm going to read now. It says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. In other words, God said, you know, I love these people and I don't want to pour out my wrath on them. I don't want them to go to hell, if you want to use those words. I want better for them. So I'm going to fix it. I'm going to come up with a way that we can fix that. And he fixed it with his grace. It is by grace you have been saved. And it goes on, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. So he expressed his grace through Jesus Christ. By Jesus coming on this earth, we've all heard the story, even people that don't believe in Jesus have heard it. Now Jesus is the Son of God that was born to Mary here on earth. He was raised, he had a ministry, and he allowed himself to be crucified to pay the debt for the sins that we commit. And the reason that he was able to pay that debt is because he is the Son of God and he is perfect, where the rest of us aren't. And it took a perfect sacrifice to pay that price, and that's what Jesus did. But I want to go on here. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God. So it's saying we've been saved by grace. As word keeps coming up, and I bet a lot of people don't exactly know what the word means, but we're gonna break that down here in a minute. But I found this little chart in one of my commentaries that I was reading, and it does a comparison between grace and religion. Because there's a lot of religious people in this world. And then there's people that believe that they're saved by grace. So I want to just kind of go through this. It says, what is the view of mankind? Well, if you believe in grace, people that believe in grace basically say we're basically sinful. We're unable to please God. Well, I believe that's true. All you got to do is you look at little babies. They know when to scream. They know how to get their way. They, as kids get older, you don't have to teach them to lie. They automatically lie. I mean, just things like that. Well, we automatically do wrong. So we're unable to please God. Well, if you look on the religion side, people that are religious typically believe that we're basically good and we're able to please God. We just got to do good stuff, in other words. The concepts that go with this on the grace side, you have God's promise, you have the gift, which is the gift of Jesus, and then we'll believe that in faith. On the religion side, people believe in the law. They believe they have to work to get to heaven. There's not another faith out on anywhere on the world that believes you go to heaven by grace. Everybody believes you have to do something. You have to work your way to heaven. That's the only way you get there, according to them. You're obligated to do all these things. The focus of people under grace is on Jesus. The focus of people that are religious is on themselves, because they're always trying to make sure they're good enough. I got to do this, because if I do that, I'll be good enough. If I do this, that'll be a bonus point. And, you're just working on just getting all that. What's the result? Well, the result on the grace side, because of Jesus, we're forgiven. And we live in righteousness that is put on us through Jesus. It's not something that we earn. On the religion side, there's condemnation, death. In other words, if you don't do right, you're going to hell. If you don't do this, you're going to hell. If you don't do that, you're going to hell. Kind of scary. It's a scary way to live. Could you imagine going through life just consistently never knowing whether you're good enough for God? Never knowing that if you die tonight, that you'll go to heaven. You might die tonight and you won't because you didn't ask for the right thing or you didn't do the right thing. That'd be a scary way to live. I don't really want to follow a religion like that. It just doesn't really appeal to me. So, in definition, if you live under grace, I'm just going to read this. The note said, God's free action based on Jesus' death and motivated by love to redeem all who believe to make them righteous. In other words, it's all about God. It's not about us. And then on the religion side, man's effort to do good and by his own works to merit salvation as a deserved reward for his behavior. In other words, man, we got to work really hard just to make sure we get there. Now, I don't know which side you'd like to be on. If you would want to live under religion that tells you that you can work your way there and then you come up short in the end. Or if you want to follow Jesus and be saved through the grace of God. I know where I want to be. But just as an example, just out of the Old Testament, you know, the Israelites, you know, are God's people. And back in the old days, they lived under the Mosaic Law. God gave them the law. You know, here's the law. Now, us today, looking back, we know the law was given to prove to us that there's no way we can follow it. We cannot follow God's standard. And if you look at how the Israelites lived, it's like everything's great. God blesses them. Then they start really doing good. Everything goes real good. Then they get a big head and they start going off into all kinds of evil and sin and all kinds of stuff. Boom, they come crashing back down. God picks them back up and fixes them. They start getting a big head. Boom, they come back. And all through the Old Testament, you read that. Well, if you look at yourself in the mirror, you'll notice that we have those same trends. When things are going really good for us, we usually don't need God. A lot of people don't pray unless something's wrong. So, it'd probably be in God's favor for things to be wrong in your life. That way you pray more. And that's just something to think about. But right there shows to us there's no way that we can do it on our own. We need God's grace in order to make it in this world. And there's three definitions I want to give you about grace that I want you to take those home with you. And what is grace? Grace is a statement about the human condition. Each person is helpless, trapped in sin, and incapable of pleasing God or winning His favor. Like I said earlier, we can't do it without God. We're not good enough to make it work. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. We all want to be called good and great, patted on the back and all that stuff. So to tell us that we're not good enough for something, that just is against our nature. But luckily it doesn't stop right there. It goes on. Grace teaches that God's attitude towards us is one of acceptance and love. So even so we're in that state, God wants to accept us and love us. Knowing God's heart, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, with every sin and need. In other words, we don't have to walk around going, oh, I'm just this wicked sinner, and oh, I just can't do anything right. You know, there are Christians that do that, and they always have the long, sad face. Now we can boldly, I mean, it says right there, approach the throne of grace with confidence. We can boldly come before God and say, you know, God, I know where I'm at. I know I'm a mess. But because of your grace, I can come before you and I know I'm forgiven. And I can walk tall in that. I can't walk tall in my sin, but I can sure walk tall in the fact of what God does for me and how He accepts me. Because God looks at me through Jesus. He sees me through what Jesus did. So, grace is a way of life, relying totally on Jesus to work within us. We experience God's own unlimited power, vitalizing us and enabling us to live truly good lives. In other words, through God's grace, which, if you go to the dictionary, it just tells you it's unmerited favor. You're getting something you don't deserve, and that's true. But I want to read that last couple of sentences just one more time. Grace is a way of life, relying totally on Jesus to work within us. We experience God's own unlimited power, vitalizing us and enabling us to live truly good lives. In other words, if we come to God, we talk to God, we read His Word, we get closer to Him, the more we spend time with Him, and the more grace that He pours out on us, the closer we get to Him. and he enables us to live the way he wants us to live. And that's the other reason that you can walk around standing tall, knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. That's the definition of grace. And all we can do is thank God for it, because we don't deserve it. When we get up in the morning, I don't know how long you can go before you mess up. I usually make it maybe the coffee. But, you know, we all mess up. But isn't it awesome to know that you can say, Lord, please forgive me. I sinned again. And he just says, you're forgiven. I mean, that's just great. So no matter what happens, if I were to drive home tonight and got hit by a big truck and didn't make it, I know I would be in heaven with Jesus. And that is a very comforting thought when you go to bed at night. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the grace that you've given us. Now, the dictionary calls it unmerited favor, something we don't deserve. But it is so much more, as we just talked about and read about. Without your grace, we couldn't win. We thank you so much that you loved us to the point where you sent Jesus to pay the price that we can pay, to be the perfect sacrifice, to pay for all the sins that we've committed, may commit, will commit, or any of it. It is all taken care of through Jesus. We just thank you so much for him. Lord, we thank you for the grace that you have given us. Father, be with us throughout this day, especially just keep us cool. It is extremely hot, and being out there racing is going to take it out of a lot of people. Father, I ask that you protect every one of us, keep us safe. Help us do everything for your glory, Lord. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.